Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
As I was sitting on the front seat here in our 9 a.m. service, I felt the Lord very strongly tell me not to preach the message I had prepared, the message that I had labored over for weeks. And, you know, got down to what I felt was like the perfect thing to deliver today. But as I was standing on the front row, I felt the Lord simply say just to preach about Him today, to give you a revelation of Jesus that you may not have experienced. And I want to tell a little bit of my story too. And I know that this is for many of you, your first meeting with me. So I don't want it to be just weird and me get up here and just preach a message and like it's our first introduction, right? So we need to get to know each other, or at least you're going to get to know me. Whether you like it or not, you're ready in Jesus' name. So I want to start by saying I grew up in a Christian home. I have four sisters. My mum and dad are beautiful people, Christian people, been married for over 50 years. I am a farm girl. I don't know whether we have any farmers or ranchers in the house today. If we do, give me a yeehaw. Okay, that was a very, as a cowboy or cowgirl, whoever did that, you need to work on your yeehaw, all right? So, Gabe, stand up. Okay, this is what I turn around. This is what I want to see more of. See, I didn't know that I could wear my cowboy boots and my flannels. So next time, I'm doing that. Let's all do that. So I grew up on a farm. My family owned a dairy farm and we supplied milk to the town for actually almost 100 years now. I was born in a little rural town in New South Wales on the east coast of Australia. And I grew up in a beautiful Christian home. We went to church every Sunday. We were part of a church that many of you would know as kind of like an Episcopalian or what we would call the Church of England, the Anglicans. And so I grew up in a beautiful church community and went to Sunday school, and my mum sang in the choir and my dad helped count the money and do ushering and all that kind of thing. And we very much grew up in this beautiful little haven of a church family, but it was very traditional. And I know for many of you coming into this place today, as you walk into the building, you're looking around and you're thinking, oh my gosh, what is wrong with these people? Why are they clapping everything? Why is everybody so excited? And I was like you one day. I remember as a young girl, I would have been maybe 12 or 13, and the main city of the town that I grew up in, we went to hear a preacher, kind of like a famous preacher. And so my sisters and I were sat in the service in a little old church, and this guy got up and he was just so excited about everything. And I hadn't heard a gospel like this, or I hadn't heard the gospel preached like this ever before in my life. And he said, you know, he made this point, put an exclamation on a point and said, come on, everybody, let's give God a great hand clap. And my sister turned to me because I'm nothing if I'm not obedient. So I immediately was like, you know, deer caught in the headlights, but I thought the man told us to clap, so I'm going to start clapping. And she grabbed my hand and she said, Leanne, we don't clap God. He's not a game show host. So I was brought up in this very religious, traditional expression of church. And my parents were beautiful and, you know, I love the church that I was part of. But there got to a point in our family's life where we were needing something more. I wouldn't even say we were looking for something more because we had community, we had friends, we got a nice Bible study every Sunday. But we got to the point where we were needing something more. See, you know, many people will look at me today and say, well, she looks like she's well put together and she's been married for 25 years. But sometimes it's easy to look at people and make a judgment without understanding the backstory. And that's not the kind of church that we're building at C3 San Diego. We're really building a church based on relationships, and relationships take time. And I know for many of you, you're in here today and you're thinking, I wonder if this is all real. It looks too good to be true. People can't be that excited nor that friendly. Well, just hang around long enough and you'll realize that what you see is literally what you're going to get. We are who we say we are. But I realize that takes some time, and we're not going anywhere. We got time. But anyhow, my father was in a position where, unbeknownst to us, he had been struggling for many years with feelings of absolute self-loathing. And it all stemmed from his childhood. He felt very rejected by his own dad, who was in the political arena, never got to see his dad, felt completely shunned and rejected. And as he didn't deal with those issues, he grew up into a man who was now a husband and a father, who just struggled with his own self-image. And as a result, he struggled with eating disorders for many, many years. And things got so severe, he tried to take his own life 3 times. And now, this was a guy who was born in church, raised in church. You know, didn't really have anything majorly traumatic happen to him, although the enemy loves to piggyback on our pain and come in and have us make vows that we'll end up paying the price for in our adult years. And so here's my dad, and he doesn't understand. As he looks around, he sees this beautiful woman he's married to, you know, 5 beautiful girls, but for some reason, it's like he is tormented day and night. And at that point, we went to a church that didn't believe a Christian could have a demon, which is great. Until you get one. And then you got to do something about it. And so that really is the premise for this message today. As I was sitting there, I felt the Lord say, Leanne, I want you to tell the people what kind of church you're bringing to East County. And I know many of you are here today because, like my dad, you're looking or needing something to be different. And you can't just have religion as usual. You need an encounter with God. Well, I want to tell you, you're in the right place at the right time. From a reformed, religious, traditional woman who encountered with her very own eyes the power of God bring transformation into her family. So my dad, because he was pushed to a place of need, started to seek and look in the scriptures for himself. He'd be told, oh, you know, no, or the best we can do is we can comfort you, and we can give you your wife and your family a casserole as they cart your sorry self off to a mental institution to try to fix what's broken in you. And for a year, my dad was in what would be known as like a psych ward in Sydney, Australia. I mean, this, again, a Christian man went to church but could not divorce himself from the voices in his head that told him he needed to end his life. And he got so desperate, he started to read the Word of God for himself. And my fear is in that the church today, a lot of us live our Christianity according to the sound bites that we hear from other people, sometimes well-meaning people that can be misinformed, and we miss out on the fullness of who Jesus really is. And so my dad, again, religious, traditional, raised in church, told a Christian couldn't have a demon, realized he was oppressed by a dark, evil spirit. He found his way into a church that believed in the power of God to deliver people from evil spirits. He sat under the teaching of a beautiful pastor who prayed for him, and he was immediately, instantly, and completely set free. And now the man that I described to you in that story is not recognizable as to the man he is today. I want to tell you, that's the reason why C3 Church is in East County. We don't want to bring more of what East County already has. We want to bring a church that believes and moves in the power of God to set people free. So I'm going to just kind of have a conversation with you today. Again, I put these thoughts together on the front row at 9 a.m. So it may not be polished, but I tell you what, it's going to be according to obedience to the Lord, and it's going to come from the heart. So I want to start by reading the word, which is always important in church. So we're going to throw it up on the screen. Thank you so much, sound guys, who have just worked so hard to make this happen. I know that I didn't give you a lot of time for preparation. But I want to read a story about a guy by the name of Bartimaeus in the book of Mark, chapter number 10. We're going to start reading at verse number 46. It says, then they came to Jericho. And I need you to know that Jericho was known as a cursed place. And you might be here today thinking that you're here and there are all kinds of cursed, dead places in your life. Well, let's see what happens next. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man named Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." And I want you to know today that our God's mercies are new every morning. Maybe some of you have come in today and you've been overwhelmed with feelings of guilt and regret and shame over things that you've done, or you're just gosh darn tired. I want to tell you today that God's mercy is inexhaustible. And you may have been told in churches before that you are not worthy of God's mercy. But I'm telling you, mercy is not for the innocent, it's for the guilty. Mercy is not for those who have been justified, it's for those who have been condemned. And here God says to you today, my mercy is sufficient for you. My mercy is new every morning. And you may have come in a little bit like blind Bartimaeus with a very real need in your life. And I believe in Jesus' name that God's mercy is going to meet you today. He's a merciful God. And then many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more. I've got to tell you, C3 Church, many of us have rebuked us and told us to be quiet, but we just won't shut up because we got something to shout about at C3 Church. He cried out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man. I'm telling you today, you may feel like the least of the least, like blind Bartimaeus was, but when you cry out to Jesus with a need in your heart and a hungry heart, you will stop the very feet of the Messiah. You will stop and garner the attention of your God who loves you so much. Then throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. And I'm going to stop even on that. I didn't touch on this in the first service, but I see that throwing his cloak aside. Some of you, like I was many years ago in that meeting where I encountered my first powerful preacher, are coming into this service and you're going to see things that are a little bit different. You're going to see things that maybe it's like, well, I'm just not sure. I feel like all my sacred cows are being tipped. I want you to just throw the residue aside. Like, just, you know what? I'm just going to throw aside all my past experiences, all my hurts, all my wounds from church people. I tell you what, church people can be some of the most merciless people on the face of the earth. And thank God that God isn't like most church people, that he's a lot nicer than most church people. And you're going to have a better experience. You're going to have a brighter day, but you've got to throw aside that old cloak of disappointment. You got to throw aside that old cloak of rejection that says I won't be accepted in church. You've got to throw aside that old cloak that says God can only move this way and no other, and start to see Jesus as he really is. And the interesting thing about this story is that blind Bartimaeus comes to Jesus and he says to him, "What is it that you want me to do for you?" And I believe that God is wanting to ask each and every single one of us in this room that question today. What is it that you want me to do for you? See, John 10:10 says, "The devil has come to kill, steal, and destroy." And have we not seen, particularly of late, a whole lot of theft, destruction, and death in our world? But that scripture doesn't end there. That's not the end of the story. The latter part of that scripture says, "But I have come to bring life, and life in abundance." And I want you to know it's not just life after you die in heaven. It is life and abundance here on earth. And so Bartimaeus cries out, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy upon me." And why that's so significant is that it located the fact that Bartimaeus, this blind beggar, had a true revelation of who Jesus was. See, at that point, he had not been revealed as the Messiah. Many knew him to be a prophet, a great man, the carpenter's son. But very few people had a true and full revelation of who this Jesus really was. And literally, when blind Bartimaeus was saying, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me," he was saying, "I know you are the Messiah." I know you are the promise of our Father, that you will bring redemption, that you will bring healing, that you will bring forgiveness of sins, that you are the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of earth for the forgiveness of mankind, for the redemption and salvation of mankind. So Bartimaeus has this revelation, and then everything changes. And I wonder today what your revelation is of Jesus. I know for me, for many years, it had been cloaked in religion and all the things that God couldn't do or just didn't want to do. And so it wasn't until we got a point in our family where my dad was in desperate need of a miracle of deliverance that we started to believe that Jesus was exactly who he said he was. He was not who man said he was, based on their negative experiences, their failures, and their disappointments. He is every inch what the Bible proclaims him to be. And so my dad was set free and our family was set on a course of change. So I want you to know today that our God is Jehovah Nissi. He is the God that fights for you. And as I was standing on the front row just at the beginning of this service, I felt the Lord say, today there are people here today and you're in the midst of a really hard battle. And I hear the Lord wanting to tell you that he's going to fight for you. You know, everything in human nature has us wanting to fight for ourselves. Don't fight for yourself when you can let the Lord do the fighting. He's so much stronger than we are. In fact, the Bible says, through our God, we shall do valiantly. It is he who will tread down our enemies. I know there are people here today and you're living under the residue of a false accusation. Somebody said something about you that wasn't true. And the thing about rumors is if they're out there long enough, they stick. They leave a residue. And you're in a place right now where you're needing vindication. I want to encourage you, don't be your own PR person. Let God do the fighting for you. Let God be the vindicator. Let God bring his vengeance. Let God do what only he can do. God will fight for you. And for those of you today that may be in a position that my dad was in, where you've been tormented in your mind and you have not been able to sleep and you've thought to yourself, man, I don't know if life is worth living. I just want to check out. There is hope for you today. There is hope for you today because our God is Jehovah Nissi, the Lord who fights for us. And here's the thing, the devil that may be whispering in your ear and trying to lay a claim on your soul has to bow his knee to the authority that God has given you as his kids. Do you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that God has given us all authority over the power of the enemy. Does the enemy have power? Oh, absolutely. Look at the world around you. Look at the massive confusion that our world is in today. Look at the rise of mental illness. You can't tell me that's not an evil spirit at work. But the good news is, as God's kids, God has given us authority over the power of the enemy. And we've got to start to wield our sword, you guys. Pull it out. Pull it out. Pull it out. You know what? Jesus sailed across a lake with his disciples. They had no idea where they were going. And all of a sudden, a storm rose up and they almost drowned, but they didn't because God's destiny was not at the end of at the bottom of a lake. It was on the other side of the lake to deliver one person. And when he got to the other side of the lake, he was met with a demon-possessed man. And this guy was an outcast in society. He was so demon-possessed in the story you'll find in Mark that he ran around naked in graveyards, rubbing chains together. I mean, they are not the actions of a sane person. And everybody else had disregarded him, and he was just kind of like the village idiot in the town mental case. But Jesus traveled through a storm to set one person free. Yeah. I want you to know today, what's going on in your mind and your life matters to God, and he will leave everything else behind to come and help set you free. And the Bible says when he encountered this man, this demon-possessed man who many had labeled Legion, he commanded the unclean spirit to come out of him, and it instantly obeyed. And then the Bible says in the next verse that then they found the man seated, clothed, and in his right mind. Can God change things? Can he turn them around? Oh, yes, he can. Somebody say, yes, he can, in Jesus' name. So we got to start to believe Jesus is who he says he is. And can I maybe take it a bit further and talk a little bit about how we're training our kids? Because maybe like me, you were raised in a home where when you had a nightmare, and I had many of them as a young girl, I was gripped with fear as a young girl. I couldn't sleep unless the light was on, and if I woke up and somebody turned the lights off, I'd be in a panic and I'd run trying to hit the light switches. And my parents used to always say to me, Leanne, it's just your imagination. There's no monster in your room. There's no boogeyman under the bed. You know what would have been a better idea? If they had said, yes, Leanne, there very well may be a monster in your room and a boogeyman under your bed. But you don't need to be afraid of the boogeyman under your bed, because the Jesus in you is bigger than the Jesus, than the devil in him. So I want you to know today, let's not train our kids. Let's not lie to them when they're kids and then have to re-educate them in the things of God when they're older. But say to them, you don't need to be afraid. If you feel that in your room, it's just the devil trying to stir up some mischief. But the power in you is greater than the power in him. And you can command that devil to get out of your room and everything's going to be okay. Because when Jesus shows up, the devil walks out. Glory, hallelujah. Let's teach our kids how to be warriors. Let's not train them to be wusses and then have the church have to undo all that messed up thinking when they're adults. I'm telling you today, Jesus, our God, Jehovah Nissi, will fight for you. What area today do you need God to fight for you in? Maybe there's conflict in your family. Maybe there's conflict in your mind. I love the scripture in Isaiah where it talks about what Jesus' death purchased for us. And it says, the chastisement for our peace was upon him. In other words, he purchased wholeness in our minds when he hung on that cross. And he shed his blood. And as they placed that crown of thorns upon his head bled so you and I could have redemption in our heads. I want to ask you today, in fact, I'm going to do it a bit different to how I did it in the first service. If you're here today and you're in the midst of a battle, and it may not be a battle of the mind, maybe it's a natural battle, maybe you're fighting somewhere in your job or fighting for your reputation, or there's just conflict in your family and you're needing God to intervene, I want you to stand to your feet. I'm going to pray for you. There's an anointing here today for God to help you in the midst of your battle. Thank you, courageous women everywhere. Come on, man. You got to step up. I know there's going to be some people here today. And listen, I've been there. Oh, I've been there. And I tell you what, Jesus wants to fight for you. Jesus is going to fight for you, and he fights for us in prayer. The Bible says that Jesus is continually interceding for us before the Father. He's praying for you, friends. He's praying for you, and he's sending angels to do battle. Lift your hands to the Lord. Father, I thank you. I thank you for each and every single one who is standing today believing for a shift in their lives. Father, I thank you that like blind Bartimaeus, God, we stop and we cry out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. Father, you know all things. You know what they're walking through. And today we declare in the name of Jesus, no weapon formed against you will prosper. And every voice that rises against you in judgment, God will condemn. We speak to every lie, to every accusation. In Jesus' name, we declare your power is broken today. We break the power of the lie today in the name of Jesus. For those, I see many of you not being able to sleep because of the torment that you go through in your mind. In Jesus' name, we declare the scriptures that say he gives his beloved sleep. Father, I thank that you long to give your children peace. Father, I thank you that peace like a river will come, and when they put their head on the pillow, they will trust even the most difficult, complex situations that they're walking through to you. Father, because we know anything we put in your hands will be well taken care of. Father, I thank you that you never sleep nor slumber, which means we can. Knowing you got a hold of that thing that has got us all worried and anxious and churned up. Father, I thank you right now, and I believe for some of you this week, you're going to see a turnaround. I see people here and you're in conflict. You're in conflict in a job situation, and you've said to your spouse, I don't know if I can stay. And God is going to give you strength, and he's going to give you grace, and just watch and see what he does. He's going to turn the situation around, because he is Jehovah Nissi, the Lord your banner, the Lord who fights for you. Thank you that you're fighting for them, Lord, that you're fighting for them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So I want you to pray that prayer over yourself when you go home. And you wait and see, and make sure you tell me the testimonies of what God is going to do. The second thing that I want to talk to you about today is that our God's a healer. And I'm not sure if you came in with an understanding of the healing power of God today, but I want to tell you, I wouldn't have believed it myself if I hadn't seen it with my own eyes. See, again, not only were we part of a church that didn't believe a Christian could have a demon, we were also in a part of a church that didn't believe that God healed anymore. And again, that's all well and good until you need healing. And then you have to start to search the scriptures for yourself to figure out what God's will is around healing. And you'll find that the Bible says that Jesus came to reveal the Father. And the first thing that Jesus did when he walked on earth was started healing people. Wherever he went, people started getting healed, blind eyes were opened, the dead were raised, those who were afflicted with diseases like leprosy were healed completely. I mean, you can't divorce God from Jesus. They're one in the same. Jesus said, I came to reveal the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen God. And I'm not sure what version of Jesus you've been sold, but I'm telling you, he is all in all. He is completely sufficient. He is the God who heals. He is Jehovah Rapha, the God who rises with healing in his wings. And so my mom was in a situation whereas a woman in her early 30s, at this point she had five babies, five girls. She was diagnosed with the same heart condition that her mother died of when her mother was 42. And it got to the point where my mum was so sick and her heart was so malfunctioning that there were many moments in my life as a young girl where I'd wake up in the morning to neither of my parents at home because my dad had to rush my mother to hospital because she'd had a turn in the night. Her heart would stop beating. She had to be brought back with defibrillators. And they put her on medication, really, really intensive medication that made her a little bit of a zombie. And, you know, there were so many things she couldn't do. And much of my life as a little girl was spent with my mother in bed and not being able to attend things. And, you know, it got to the point where my mum was like, you know what? I don't want to accept that which is unacceptable. This is not living. And my Bible says that he came to give me life and life in abundance. So even though we went to a church that didn't believe in healing, my mum started listening to Kenneth and Gloria Copeland on the side. How wonderful that through the power of television, Australia got the words of some American healing evangelists that started the beginning of an era of transformation in my family. So my mom started to stand on the word of God. She started to stand on the scripture in Isaiah that says, by his stripes, I am healed. And I remember her saying once, you know, Leanna, doesn't say by his stripes, I'm getting healed, or by his stripes, I might be healed, or by his stripes, if I pray enough and beat myself up and pay enough penance, then I might get healed. It says by his stripes, I am healed. And she started to declare the word of God over her own life. A little girl in a little town, a religious church who didn't believe that a Christian could have a demon and be set free, didn't believe that someone could be healed by the power of God. And here is this woman in a little town in a rural part of Australia who starts to believe God for more. And then little bit after little bit, she felt the Lord say to her, Val, I've healed your heart. I've healed your heart. And because she's a wise woman, she didn't go off her medication, but she went to the doctor and she said, will you do some tests? I feel like my heart's fixed. And so she went to the doctor and the doctor was, well, Mrs. Gray, just hang on a second. Now you do remember we did a barrage of tests and you're lucky to be alive. And in fact, your life is so precarious. What you're saying is ridiculous. Like your mother died at 42. We're going to believe to keep you alive a lot longer, but I need you to be smart, Mrs. Gray. Nothing's going to change. But then he submitted, he agreed to the fact that they'd redo the tests. They redid the tests. A couple of days later, my mum gets a phone call. Oh, Mrs. Gray. We have some inconclusive results. We feel like something was wrong with the testing. We'd like you to come back in and be tested again. And so unbeknownst to mum at the time, the reason he was thinking something went wrong was because all the tests came back clear and he thought this has to be impossible. And so she came back and submitted herself a second time. Just in case there was error, human error the first time, I'll submit myself again to the testing. Lo and behold, 3 days later, the doctor appears shaking his head, scratching his head. Cannot believe it, Mrs. Gray. I wouldn't have believed it unless I saw it with my own eyes. But your heart is functioning like that of a woman's healthy heart should be functioning at your age. I can't believe it. You're better. You're healed. I have no explanation. And I'm telling you, that was when my mum was 32. She's about to celebrate her 70th birthday. She has outlived her own mother, who had the same affliction, over 30 years. God is shifting things and changing things and turning things around. What Jesus do you have a revelation of today? Maybe it's time for God to for you to allow God to put some new wine into some new wineskins. Because as sure as I'm standing here in this imperfect world, there will be times where you literally have an option to go to fear and doubt and defeat, or to rise up and believe that God is who He says He is. And I wouldn't have believed it unless I saw it with my own eyes. A healthy mother who has not only got to see her children grow up, but got to see her children's children. And she's still and as alive and vibrant today as she was at as a 30-year-old woman. And I'm telling you, you're going to meet her one day. She's going to stand on this stage and she's going to preach her testimony, and people are going to get healed. Because how many people know that when God's touched you with healing power, you pray for other people, they start getting healed too. It's amazing what God will do when you have a revelation of who He truly is. And no other miracles are mentioned in the story of Bartimaeus when Jesus went to Jericho, because I wonder if so many just put Him down as a prophet, a nice guy, a guru. But blind Bartimaeus had a revelation of who Jesus truly was. He is the promised Messiah. And because he had a revelation of who Jesus truly was, he experienced the fullness of Jesus in his own life. His blind eyes were opened. If you're here today and you're believing God for a physical miracle in your body, I want you to stand to your feet. It's one thing to talk about God's power. It's another to activate it, to pray for people. Stand to your feet. We're going to pray for you today. The Bible tells us we will lay our hands on the sick and they shall recover. If you don't mind, I know it's early days, we're just getting to know each other, only 3 weeks in, but some of our leaders will come and lay hands on you. We believe in the power of prayer. We believe in the power of anointing of oil. We believe in the power of God's ability to heal us. So we're going to believe right now. And I just want you to close your eyes and believe God for healing to flow through your body. We release the healing power of God today. Not in my name, in Jesus' name. Don't look to a man. It's not under the words of a man. It is under the good pleasure and delight of our God to bring healing and prosperity to His servants. Father, I thank You today. Your healing power flows through bodies. Right now, I see back pain, terrible crippling back pain. God is going to visit your friend and your back's going to be healed and you're going to be doing things that you didn't think you could do. I see tumors dissolving in the name of Jesus. Cancer right now in Jesus' name. There is a name that is bigger than cancer, and it's the name of Jesus. It is the name under which every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. Father, I thank You right now for healing to flow across this building. Your healing right now, we come against fear in Jesus' name. We come against doubt. Father, let faith rise in this place. Lord, Your word says that if we have faith, even as a mustard seed, we can speak to the mountain and command it to be removed, and it will have to obey at Your name. Father, I thank You right now that You fan to flame the little faith in their lives, God, that they would not go home into doubt. They would go home and trust You, just as my mother trusted You, Father, all those years ago. And Father, we pray today You do it again, do it again, do it again. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. God bless you, friends. God bless you. And here's what I want you to do. When you go home, see, sometimes, and I guess this is kind of like a teaching lesson today, sometimes we can be in church and we can get just so accustomed to religious traditions. And what we did this morning with communion was so powerful, so powerful. Those who warfare and fight with the blood of Jesus, warfare with a weapon that does not know defeat. On that cross, every single bit of sin, every single bit of sickness, every iniquity, every disease, every piece of shame, every mental illness was taken down because of the shedding of His blood. So when you go home, I want you to take communion. You don't need a priest to do it. All you need is, I don't know, some wine or some grape juice, depending on what side you lean in that situation. Little piece of bread. Grab a hold of it. Father, I thank you. I thank you. By your stripes, I am healed. Thank you. Because of your blood, the destroyer must pass over. Because of your blood, sickness cannot live in my body. I rebuke the devourer in Jesus' mighty name. It is powerful. It's not just a religious tradition in church. We are literally, today, we were carrying the receipt. What you held in your hands was a receipt of the power of God. Take it from me, one who was born in a church that didn't believe that God could heal, but I have a mother today because she dove and dug in the Word, got a word for herself, was not content to just hear from men, oh, the healing days are done, everyone. It's over. If you're sick, the best that we can do is comfort you and bring a casserole. No, I'm sorry, that's not good enough. Not good enough. Nope. I want the power of God. And the same God that could heal a blind man thousands of years ago is the same God that is present in this church, in this building, in your home, and in your life today, in Jesus' name. I believe it, like David. You're going to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Oh, God's for you, friends. He loves his kids so much. And finally, as we come to a close, I want to tell you about Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Again, I was raised in a church that didn't believe that God wanted his kids to prosper. And it just goes so against the scriptures. And if you need a scripture for me to convince you, I've got one for you right here, right now. Psalm 35, 27 says this, "Let them shout for joy." Isn't that good news already? We're shouting and be glad. "For those who favor my righteous cause, yes, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, because he has pleasure in the prosperity of his servants." The Lord has pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. When my husband and I were a young couple starting out in ministry, and most of you would know that you don't go into ministry because it pays really well. You go into ministry because you feel called by God. And so we were in that position and we were serving as youth pastors in New Zealand. And we were earning about a combined total of $18,000 or $19,000 a year. And God spoke to my husband, because my husband's always been a great man of faith. And he said to him, "Jürgen, I really want to give you your own home." But when we looked at the forecast of our future, earning $18,000, $19,000, no time to have a side job, we thought, "God, how can this be? It seems impossible." And then the Lord said to my husband, "Don't forget, you have tithers' rights. You have tithers' rights." See, Malachi 3:10 says, "Bring all the tithe, 10% of what you earn, into the storehouse." And then it goes on to say, "And then test me now in this." Do you know the only place in the Bible where God says we can test him is around finance? And I tell you what, that's a good one. Because if I was God and I was going to pick anything to have my people test me on, it would not be that. I'd be like, "Test me on something else." But he's like the hardest one, the one that has so many people's knickers in a knot. And he says, "You know what? You can test me in this, that I will not fail to throw open the windows of heaven." So there'll be so much blessing, you won't even have room to contain it. And so when you grab a hold of the true revelation of who our God is, Jehovah Jireh, our provider, everything will shift. So my husband started to believe that thing that looked impossible could become a possibility in our lives. And so we met with one of the pastors in our church, a well-meaning pastor, and they said to him, "Oh, Jürgen, I mean, I love your faith. I love your enthusiasm. I love your passion, but just calm down. You know, like, look at your wage." And he got on the phone in front of Jürgen in his office in the church and called multiple banks, and one by one they came back and said, "We would not loan this man any money. We would not give him a mortgage." One bank came back and said, "We would loan him up to $40,000 or $50,000, to which we're like, "We want a house, not a car." And then another part of the picture came together in that there was a woman in our church whose daughter had a terrible divorce and wanted to sell her house really quickly. And we lived in a place called South Auckland, which was one of the most violent parts of the Southern Hemisphere. And so when Jürgen said we were getting a house and we were driving through some of the cheap, dodgy areas, of which we could not afford to buy anyway, I said to my husband, "Well, if God's going to buy the house, and we can't even afford to have like a home in the ghetto, then why don't we just believe him for something like really big and awesome in an area we actually want to live in? I said, you know, why don't we believe God for a house in Wattle Downs? And so Wattle Downs was like this little piece of paradise in South Auckland near the Auckland Harbour, a little piece of paradise where, you know, there was no drug wars and no gangs and no decapitations. And I'm like, I'm going to believe God for a house there because it's going to take a miracle. It might as well be a big one, right? A miracle is a miracle after all. And so this woman, lo and behold, daughter goes through a nasty divorce. Home's available. She wants to sell it fast. The home is in Wattle Downs. Wattled. I mean, I couldn't have written the script better. And then she says, we want to sell you this house for $120,000, $40,000 less than it's worth. But because we want to help you, young couple in the church, so go get a mortgage. So we scrimped and we scraped and we found a bank that worked with low-income people that said, we will loan you the money for the mortgage if you can come up with $25,000. Well, I tell you, they might as well have asked us to come up with $1 million. But after we had like a deadline of maybe 3 months, and they said, and after 3 months, we had $10,000. We had called in every favor. We had sold everything that we could sell outside of ourselves. We had called our parents for money, you know, like, and all we came up with was $10,000. I remember my husband having to go and sit with the sellers, a husband and wife couple. The wife went to church. The husband was not a Christian. And he sat in front of them, cap in hand, having to tell them, we have tried our best, but we can't come up with the money to get the mortgage. So he sat in front of them and he said exactly that. And he said, look, I've come up with $10,000, but I'm 15 short. We're not going to be able to buy the house because no bank will loan us the money unless we come up with $25,000. Another 15. So the guy sat there again, not a Christian, hadn't been to church. And he just kind of stared at Jürgen for about a minute. It was like awkward as. And then he all of a sudden stands up and walks out of the room. And Jürgen's thinking, oh my gosh, I've offended him. They've gone to all this trouble. We've spent so much time negotiating. They put themselves on the line and here I'm coming up short. And then the man comes back into the room after a couple of minutes. And in his hand, he has big bags, plastic clear bags full of cash. Cash! I mean, he looked like a drug dealer. And so he walks in and he puts the bags of cash on my husband's lap. And he says to him, you know, 50 years ago when my wife and I moved from Scotland to New Zealand, a real estate agent helped us get our first home. And then he re-gifted us his commission so we could furnish the house. He said, for 50 years, I've been looking for an opportunity to pay it forward. And I think I found it today. Here's $15,000. Go buy my daughter's house. I mean, what the? Talk about a miracle. I wonder what you've experienced today in your relationship with Jesus. I wonder if there's more that God wants to do for you. Because see, the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. And I don't think it's because God's hard to please. I just think it's because he knows that everything we get in this life is going to come through faith. Listen, at the end of the day, if you're sick and you're needing a miracle, it doesn't matter how much money you have. When Jesus came to Jairus' daughter, he didn't say, how rich are you? The Bible says that that girl was risen from the dead according to your faith, according to your faith, according to your faith. Why did C3 San Diego come to East County? To flick on your faith switch, because there is so more, much more that God wants to do in your life, in the life of your family, in this community. Hey, the rest of the world may be happy to go to hell in a handbasket, but not East County, not San Diego, not on our watch. We are going to leave the world a whole heck of a lot better than we found it. And we're going to rise up as a church who believe in the fullness of the power of God. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me. He had a revelation of who Jesus really is. And over the coming weeks, as you start to enter in to see what kind of a church we are, as you go on this journey with us, you're going to see a revelation of Jesus that you may not have been introduced to before, and everything in your life is going to shift. Get ready, get ready, get ready. Last group of people I want to pray for is a group of people who are believing God to own property. And maybe you come from a long line of people that rented and never owned, but God can turn things around in an instant. Why not you? Why can't you change the legacy in your family? We got a couple in our church, Kenny and Ashley Robbins, who both come from abject poverty. Both of them were homeless at one point in their life as young people. Many, many, many nights spent sleeping with their parents in a car. They are the first couple on both sides of the family to own their own home. And they own it out here in East County. God's wanting to shift something. Who do you believe He is today? If that's you and you believe in God to purchase a home, to buy your own piece of America, God's on that. Bible tells us in the Psalms, He delights in the prosperity of His servants. Don't believe those miserly people that tell you God doesn't want you to have nothing. Well, that's stupid. Because how can you help people if you don't have anything? You can't. When you see the needs around the community, if you're just got enough to get by on your own, how can you help? The Bible says that He wants to make it so we can give. We can give to every need with much liberality. I want you to know today God wants to prosper you because He cares about you. He loves you. That's point number one. And He loves your kids. And He wants you to have a legacy that you can hand on to your children's children. But He cares about the world around you. And one day, who knows? God's going to give you a house through the power of God. He's going to shift things like He did in our lives. And then maybe a second, and one day you may be called upon to loan that house to a couple who have been made homeless for one reason or another, or a family that has been ravaged by drugs that needs a place to stay. You don't know what God will do. Allow Him to prosper. Allow Him to move and shift things in your life. Lift your hands to the Lord. Father, I thank You today. Lord, Your word says, Father, that Your people shall be the lenders and not the borrowers. They shall be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. Father, I thank You today that You are providing. Father, I thank You that just as You provided for the Israelites in their time of great need, and the revelation came, He is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Father, I thank You for Your provision. I thank You for the ram caught in the thicket for many people here. God, that they would say, just as my story was, it could not have been through anyone else except through God. Father, I thank You right now. We stand on Your word that says, when we bring in our tithes, You will rebuke the devourer on our behalf. We rebuke that devourer in Jesus' name. We tell you to get off their finances. Father, I thank You that You will be faithful to Your kids. Show them Your great love. Show them how much You love them, how You love their children, how You want them to enjoy this life, not just in the life to come, but right here, right now. That like King David, we would say, I would have despaired unless I had believed. I'd see the goodness of God in the land of the living. In Jesus' mighty name. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody say glory to God. Amen. 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 Well, that's my story right there. So we're looking forward to getting to know you. And the service has come to a close. I'm going to ask Pastor Michael to come up. But here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to ask our leaders to stand up the front. And if you would like prayer for anything, particularly if you've never asked Jesus into your heart and your life, well, that's where it starts. That's where it starts. All of this is activated when we say, God, I want to surrender my life to You. I acknowledge You're my Father. I'm Your child. I don't want to live life my own way. I want to be like the prophet Carrie Underwood and let Jesus take the wheel.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.